I want to talk about an issue that Canada's grappling with for years, reparations payment. We've talked a lot about it, and it's a huge, huge issue with Indigenous peoples for the residential school system that the Truth and Reconciliation Commission here called a cultural genocide. And the Prime Minister called it that. And compensation has become a big question. But in the United States, something has just happened that's quite dramatic. Suddenly, there is, after years of discussion about reparations for African Americans for discrimination, a new program in Illinois has just started, and it's really dramatic. I want to tell you what's going on in Evanston, Illinois. Robin Rouge Simmons, the alderman of Evanston's 5th Ward, spearheaded something called the Local Reparations Restorative Housing Program, and which essentially is going to take money taxed from cannabis sales and give it to African Americans who had been discriminated against for housing. Listen to this description.
Reparations is to make amends for egregious crimes or actions against the community. And our local case for reparations in Evanston was found in housing.
Their local case for reparations is found in housing. This is the first program of its kind ever in the United States. Listen to what Robin Rouge Simmons says.
The Black community of America is owed the right to enjoy humanity and the same livability as every other group in this nation. We are owed reparations.
We are owed reparations. Interesting. Now, Ms. Simmons developed the program with someone named Dr. Ron Daniels, the convener of the African American Reparations Commission and the president and founder of the Institute of Black World 21st Century, who is on the line right now. Dr. Daniels, thanks for joining us, sir.
It's my pleasure.
Tell our listeners across our country about how this reparations program works, who's eligible for it.
Well, let me first of all say it's a milestone day in Evanston, and we're extremely proud of Robin Rouge Simmons and all of the stakeholders. And the National African American Reparations Commission helped to shape the program and certified it as a model to be replicated potentially all across the United States of America. The way the program works, actually, is to actually target specifically those racially exclusionary policies. Enslavement is one thing. That's certainly a huge original sin in the United States of America. But it's also for racially exclusionary policies, like redlining, which is something in the United States that relates to disinvestment or the refusal to invest in communities because of their poor or of their race or whatever. And that's what happened in Evanston, and the records showed that clearly. And so under this proposal, Evanston had already acknowledged, the record is very clear, it had already apologized. The next question was repair. How do you then, therefore, repair the damage or the harm that was inflicted? And this housing proposal is only one of a commitment of $10 million over 10 years, which is really not huge, but it is a major step. So the idea here is this is the very first allocation of dollars that will go to those descendants of people and or directly affected folks who were affected by redlining. But there will be other programs. So this is not just a one-time thing. There is, in fact, a reparations initiative in Evanston, which is a very, very powerful achievement, and it is one that signals to cities all across the United States. Because in the United States, this is bubbling up everywhere. Providence, Rhode Island, Burlington, Vermont. I mean, Asheville, North Carolina. Cities are coming to reckon with the history of one of America's original sins, just as Evan, you referenced in Canada, where you've been grappling with this issue, and there's been some measures taken as relates to the Aleuts and other Native groups, but apparently not enough yet. But in this country, after years and years and years of a cross-generational struggle, we have this victory. But what this signals is we are also on the verge of getting federal legislation passed in the United States, a bill called H.R. 40. And NARC, National African American Reparations Commission, is at the center of that work as well. So within the next 6 months, you will may well hear that the federal government, they may not have cut the resources yet, but a presidential commission will have been put in place to begin to talk about how to deal with reparations proposals for African Americans.
So, as you say, for Aboriginal peoples here in Canada, in the residential school for the Inuit, we've had a long, and by the way, a torturous debate on this. How, tell me how this reparation works. So if you're eligible here, what do you get? What's the reparation itself?
Well, in Evanston, there's a $400,000, pool right now, the first allocation, $400,000. People can apply, and if they're eligible, they will get varying amounts. I think it's up to $25,000 to $40,000. Yeah. I don't have the specific.
I think it's up to $25,000 for housing. So basically, they put a 3% tax on recreational marijuana, and I think they've got $10 million eventually.
Well, it's $10 million over 10 years, right?
Over 10 years for restorative housing. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no. I'm trying to commit. That's not just for housing. It can be for other. This is the first program. So the next program that they do might be for education. It might be for community economic development. What they have put in place is not just a housing program. They have put together, they have a reparative justice, a reparatory justice initiative in Evanston. That was approved. Hmm. The first allocation coming off of that has to do with housing. But the point is there will be, and as you well know, there are people who say it's not enough, we want to try different. And so people will have an opportunity in Evanston to engage. So it's a good first step. But the point is, and by the way, the reason why it was so important to do it off cannabis is because the war on drugs, at least in the United States of America, was a war on largely black and brown people.
Right. Had pushback, as I talked to Dr. Ron Daniels, the convener of the African American Reparations Commission, on this? It is an historic moment, the first reparations program for black residents. It's an enormously historic moment, but there must be a lot of people who say they're against it. And I've read a fair bit of criticism that people don't want to have, quote, reparations because they're not sure where it ends. What do you make of the critics of this?
Well, it depends on who you're talking to. I mean, there's growing support in the United States. Reparations in the U.S. is no longer a marginal issue. Now, bringing along everybody is not easy, but among millennials in particular, you have now easily somewhere around 55% of the population that's supporting it. Certainly, I mean, even in the African-American community, there was a time when we thought it was maybe pie in the sky. Why are we working on this? It's now around 70%. Even among whites in general, probably approaching somewhere around 30%. So, but at one point, it was almost zero. So we're making significant progress. And the most important thing in the policy space where it counts, I mean, black voters matter. And the Democratic Party is increasingly recognizing that it must pay attention to a base that has been harmed over these many years and that this issue is at the top of the agenda. So we fully expect that President Biden... the bill, H.R. 40, is going to pass the House of Representatives without question. It enjoys the support of Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House.
Yeah, so this is going to go – I'm running into a break. But first of all, Dr. Ron Daniels, convener of the African American Reparations Commission, president and founder of the Institute of Black World 21st Century, I really appreciate you explaining this remarkable program. As you say, this is the beginning, not the ending. I thank you, sir, for joining us very much.